Everybody, and welcome to the Geek Actually After Show, episode 111 for the 4th of December, 2010. I am David McVeigh, and I am still continued to be joined by Josh Philpott. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Considering that it's late in the afternoon, I have another coffee, so I'll stay alive for this.
Well, I'm running coffee, root beer, and water.
You know what's great, though? Unlike last week, it's not like a million degrees in here.
That's true. It's a little bit muggy. It's a little bit stuffy, but that, you know, that's normal when we have lights and everything else going. So it's not so bad, though. So what is it? What is it this? What sort of language is that? It sounds kind of like
you
dialogue
speak good
control
England.
Too. All right, so this is the Geek Actually After Show. This is kind of our unstructured after show. We finish recording Tech Actually and Film Actually, which are our two main shows, and we leave the mics on, and Delta Knight sends me links, and we just basically talk about geek stuff. And it's all the stuff that doesn't fit into the normal shows. It's a bit of tech, it's a bit of film, it's a bit of weird, it's a bit of food, it's a bit of everything. The show has no distinct running time, it just kind of goes as long as it does, and usually anything between half an hour and an hour, and you know, sit back and enjoy, grab a cold one, and let's see if we can kind of talk some of this stuff out, because first of all, Josh...
Well, that was radio presenter quality right there. Just grab a beer, sit back, and we will see if we can enjoy our afternoon.
Grab a cold one, kick back, and enjoy the dulcet tones of Geek Actually. All right, so I'm going to say right off the bat, though, everybody can relax. Google Earth has trees.
Introducing 3D trees in Google Earth 6. The new Google Earth 6 includes 3D trees in parks, neighborhoods,
I'm so glad.
And forests
I was
in several
really
cities
worried
around
about
the world.
For a while there.
So now you can have a more realistic view of the ground. But wait, there's more.
Now,
Street View has been seamlessly integrated with our 3D environment, so you can experience the streets like never before. Right, Pegman?
Yep.
Take a virtual tour down the streets with the new Street View in Google Earth 6.
I like that part.
Enjoy the new features, and watch out for those trees. Download Google Earth 6 at earth.google.com.
Every time she says that, I swear she's saying 6. Yeah, no, see? Yeah, everyone says she's saying 6.
Google Earth 6. That would be a feature.
I was like, because I tuned out like at the start of that, and I put the headphones on, and I just get this girl saying, with Google Earth 6, there's now trees. I'm like,
really?
Say what?
Hey, Evil Dead. Sorry, for those who haven't listened to Film Actually, we talked about the trees raping the girl in Evil Dead.
Yeah.
So I was really worried. I was really worried that we weren't going to have trees in Google Earth, and now I can relax because there's trees in Google Earth.
Yeah, no, well, thank God.
Thank God.
I mean, really, it's been a concern on my mind, and I feel like a whole weight's been lifted off me.
Damn straight, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling much better. And the other thing I was really worried about this week was, you know those times when you just want to wrap your TV around something?
Oh, man.
Hasn't that happened to you all the time where you just go, I really feel like I want to rearrange my living room, but I want the TV in the corner and I want it to bend into the corner there so that it stays out of the way. Well, Samsung's got you covered, all right?
Thank God.
Because they have now come up with an OLED screen that is flexible. So there you go. There's a picture for you. And you can bend it into corners for you. Why the fuck would you want this feature? You know, I just look at it and go, okay, so it's a bendable LED, OLED screen.
Would it actually be that useful? Like,
The only thing I could think it would be useful for, quite frankly, is in displays.
Hmm.
It might be useful for, like, shop displays. And so, like, I can't see anybody in their house wanting to wrap their TV around something.
Could you still watch it as effectively?
Well, theoretically, it now has a huge viewing angle because you can see it from any angle. You could just convex it out and you'd be... I don't know. It's a stupid idea. I can try and defend this any way, you know, I want, but it really is just a dumb idea.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you can make it work, people with tiny apartments can have big TVs.
Huh. Calisynth just came up with the concept. Split screen gaming. Bend it that way. Each person looking at either side. You're not looking at each other.
Yeah, that's true. Some of the old games might be really fun to play that way.
GoldenEye.
Yep.
GoldenEye in split screen. There you go. And Numero Zero says, I want to see that in action, though. Me too.
Yeah, no, I want to see it work before I'm going to comment on it. I'm not going to say it's useless, though.
I think it's silly, but not useless. All right. What I do think is really, really neat, though, is the Kinect hacks that have been coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, I've got two of them for you. The first one, and I've got some video here to show you. I've actually cut this right back because it's very long. We're going to keep the mics open during it anyway. The first one, I think, shows you that the Kinect doesn't work for everything. Conceptually, it works. And this is it here. This is where a guy has actually hacked the Nintendo Kinect to play Mario Brothers. So
you mean the Microsoft Kinect, Dave.
The Microsoft Kinect, but this is on PC. So he's taken the Mario Brothers game, and he's basically hacked it so that you can actually use the Kinect controller. Mm. So you actually run and do all the jumping, like in Mario Brothers, to make it work. It doesn't quite work 100%, but conceptually, the idea is there. So here it is. This is him with Super Mario Brothers. You see, he gets into position, starts the game. Running along, running, jump, jump. But if you look, when he tries to get to fine detail, like he's trying to back up a little bit, it doesn't quite have the control that he needs to get it to fine detail.
But, yes, like you said, conceptually...
Conceptually, this is pretty neat. How exhausting would Mario Brothers be after a while, though?
James is getting into the spirit.
All right, so that's Mario Brothers on the Kinect. But this is the one, Josh and I actually discussed this one. This is the one that, for me, quite frankly, is the most exciting hack I've seen so far. And I think, judging by the setup, I couldn't find the name, but judging by the setup on this video, and you can find links to both of these videos on our show notes, I think it's the same guy. Because it looks like it's the same... computer setup. He's got the little round mirror in front of it and the whole bit. But here he is. He's actually hacked the Kinect to give himself a real-time lightsaber. So basically, he's got a pole, and on the screen, he has a rendered lightsaber, and he's got them motion mapped. And so when he actually moves the pole in the real world, this is what happens on screen. Check this out. So he goes back. There he is. He picks it up. As you can see in the mirror, it's just a pole. Oh, that is just hot. And that's a real-time lightsaber mapped to his pole. Now I want to see a game with that. It doesn't lose the tracking at all. The only thing I would say is that he's moving fairly slowly. Be interesting to see what happens if he brought that to speed. James, settle down. James has a real-time lightsaber on his pole. But yeah, we're saying in the chat room, they're saying, I want it right now. You know? That is really awesome. That is a really interesting demonstration. So I'd like to see that implemented into some sort of game.
Yeah. I'm interested.
What are your hesitations? Come on, tell me.
No. I just, when I'm actually looking at the what's on screen, it's just I was having some questions on whether or not that was live, because it was like when he was moving it, it's like at one.
Or is
stage,
there a lag on screen?
Again, all these things need to be taken into account. Again, it's like, I mean, it's basic software, and I mean, there's nothing outside the realm of possibility.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. The problem with Kinect is we haven't really seen how fast.
Yeah, I actually really want to get a Kinect. I really want to get one. I'm not sure how much I would use it at this point, but I really want to get one because I want to play with it. I want to see how reactive the controls are. Mm. I want to really have a play with it and see what it does.
Yeah.
Digital Angel has joined our chat room. Hello, Digital. All right. What else have we got for you? Now, this was actually a funny little article on Gizmodo. This was one that basically said, be very, very careful what you choose as a Twitter name, because you need to think of all parameters, because apparently, now I'm going to assume that this is pronounced Theseus. Okay. But the tweeter at Theseus, break that down, it actually looks like the Ashes.
Yeah.
Probably wishes she'd chosen a different username, according to Gizmodo, because she, being completely ignorant to all things cricket, has been bombarded by tweets from cricket fans because they all think it's the Ashes.
Yeah.
It has now gotten to a certain point, though, which is quite funny, because they now actually want to fly her to the Ashes. Qantas and so forth, it's all paying off for her because they want a flight. They want to give her a free flight from New York to Australia to see the match. And there's many others who are joining in on this publicity stunt now. And all they end their article by saying, is it too late to register at Olympics 2016?
I would say somebody went straight after looking at that and found out.
And there's a wonderful picture on this Gizmodo article, which is the T-shirt that has, I am not a freaking cricket match. she's basically been getting very annoyed by all this, but now apparently it's paying off for her. So,
Well, dude, I mean, hell, if you're getting a free friggin' trip to another country out of it,
absolutely.
I would definitely tend to probably let people, you know, sort of use my name a little bit. I can see advantages to that.
I just love the fact that people on Twitter and the geeks out there and so forth just latch on to things like that. You know, you sit there as soon as it's like. I was listening to one of Leo Laporte's shows. I can't even remember which one it was because I listened to a lot of them. But I was listening to one of them, and one of his guests, his name is Justin something. I forget. I don't even remember all the details. All I remember about this whole thing, though, was the fact that his Twitter account, how lucky was he? He must have been in really early, is at Justin.
Yeah. Right? Wow.
So, I mean, talk about a rare Twitter handle. But apparently he's been being bombarded by Justin Bieber fans.
Oh, dude.
Who all think he's Justin Bieber, even though his photo is on his Twitter account and he's a middle-aged man and all this sort of stuff. And so basically he started to have fun with them and started to write and at-reply them and abuse them and stuff, basically saying, you know, you're stupid enough not to look, you know.
Wait, but has that come back to haunt him? Like,
not
surely...
yet, apparently. Yeah. So, you know, but it's you just sometimes, you know, pay attention. Not everything is immediately as it would seem.
I think that's a problem that's never going to go away, man. I mean, it's happened on Facebook. It happens on Twitter. Twitter is one of those awful things, though, where people that tweet usually are not focused on pretty much anything.
No, that's
most
true.
Most of the time, they're just interested in throwing up.
That's why so many fake Twitter handles are out there, because people fall into the game so easily. They go, oh, that's such and such. That probably isn't. It's probably some Joe Schmo down the road who's just chosen that Twitter name, and everybody. It's why they started to do the verified.
I only ever look for the ones that say the official something something.
But even half of those are fake.
No,
and
but like
just recently, Twitter announced they're dropping the verified seal.
Yeah.
So that little verified thing that Twitter started, they're now deciding to drop.
Why?
I don't know. That's, how hard could that be to maintain? Anyway, so Twitter. Twitter is huge, but it's weird. What the hell is James from Melbourne saying? My tweet name is Linda Say Lohan is in rehab again. All right.
I expect an invite every year.
All right, dude, check this out. And I say dude because I want to know how long it's going to take Woody Harrelson to move into this house. All right? This is the house that Hemp made. This is a house made of hemp brick.
Wow, it's a beautiful looking house.
It says it's the first U.S. It's the U.S.'s first house to be made from hemp, the fiber that's harvested from cannabis plants. Funnily enough, it's located in Asheville, North Carolina. But don't drop by expecting to smoke it to get high, whatever you do. Mixing hemp with lime and water to create hempcrete. The house was built by eco-friendly construction company Push Design. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on and says that if you actually did decide that you wanted to try and smoke this hemp house, you would have to smoke 2,500 pounds of hemp to get high.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put that past people that are really into it.
which roughly equates to the master bedroom. So you have to smoke the entire bedroom to try and get a buzz out of it. Look, hemp in itself is not what gets you high. Hemp is the leftovers. They make hemp rope, hemp material. And the reason why I talk about Woody Harrelson is because Woody Harrelson is a huge advocate for hemp because, of course, he is part of that whole movement. He wears hemp clothing. He has a hemp clothing line. Yeah. And all I can say is, why isn't he living in a hemp house?
Yeah.
This is brilliant. And what the irony of it, of course, is that they had to import all of the bricks and everything from overseas because hemp is actually illegal to grow in America because to grow it, you have to grow marijuana
plants. I wonder whether
plants.
Or not it's actually in any way useful. Like, I wonder whether or not they've, you know, like, whether or not it has to be, you know, like, is it economical to
make?
Well,
the reason why it would be made and the reason why people are trying to use hemp is it is a completely renewable resource. It's really easy to grow pot.
Oh, dude, no.
So
I wouldn't know, but...
the whole idea of using hemp is it is the byproduct of the marijuana plant. It's the stalk, basically, stripped down and turned into a usable material. And that usable material can be used for so many things, and it's so easy to grow marijuana plants by the crop load that you could have this renewable resource. You could be making paper out of it, clothing out of it. But because our short-sighted governments have basically banned the growth of marijuana because of the obvious other things you can do with it, that hemp is no longer used as a resource, and we use other trees which are not so renewable or so quickly renewable. It grows so quickly, absolutely. So, and not that I would know anything about that, but no, seriously, I've never actually grown, but I have friends who have grown plants, and it does, it grows very quickly. There was in the U.S. back in the, I think I want to go back to the days of the Depression, they were actually paying farmers to grow hemp, and it was a product they were using. Of course, when the whole marijuana thing started in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and so forth, that's when they started to say, oh, we can't grow that anymore because it's this drug, blah, blah. And so all those things were ceased. It's ridiculous. Use hemp. Hemp is a really good product to use. And far out, man, we're making houses out of it now. Boy, it would give a whole new sensation to your house burning down, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Block party!
Yeah.
Everybody, they're saying, why would you help me put the fire out? No way, man!
It's just like people just standing around a ring of your burning house, just like...
It's like I always wondered, you know, you see those footage on the news where the police officers are standing around the huge bonfire when they're burning off the crops. Yeah. And they go, I want his job.
You can just tell, though. They're just going home. And it's just like, you just like if you ever watch that footage for a bit too long, when everybody starts to, you know, sort of walk away to their cars, it's just they're all kind of walking just a little bit funny. It's the one time a year they can get away with it and not have to worry.
They're going, it's the crop burn off. Who wants to volunteer for it?
Me.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. All right. All right. I'm going to put out a challenge to our listeners, this wonderful Geek Actually episode. And I'm going to say it is the Christmas season. Christmas time is almost upon us. It is now 20. What are we talking about?
And I just want to quickly state that anybody that actually says 'tis the season to be jolly does not work in retail. I'm just putting that out there.
All right. Well, I want to actually say get out of retail for a minute. And I'm saying this to the listeners. And I'm going to say try making some of your own decorations this year. Okay? And I'm going to put out the challenge and say write to us at feedback@geekactually.com and tell me what kind of decorations you're planning. You're a geek, man. Get out there and geekify Christmas. And I'm going to show you one. There's an article in our show notes which shows a few things that you could try. But this is the one in particular that struck me as being really cute. How about having this hanging on your Christmas tree? This is a Lego Death Star.
Oh, shit. That is so cool.
All right. So there's a whole host of these pictures on this link that you can find. It's a Geeks Are Sexy article. So go have a look and think about what they're doing and think about what you could do. I got to tell you right now, every year we have a tradition in my family where we always buy – we have our same decorations that we reuse every year, and as everybody does. You got the box of decorations. But every year we have a policy. We buy one new decoration for the tree. And that one new decoration is often something a little bit offbeat. We actually have a Superman with a sack of presents over his shoulder that hangs on the tree. I used to have a Marvin the Martian in a little flying saucer. I've lost that one, though. I used to love that one. But a little Marvin the Martian in a flying saucer, you know, that used to hang on our tree. So have a think about it. Send us your geek Christmas ideas. What are you doing out there to geekify Christmas, all right? Yeah. Because let's face it, the geeks are going to take over the world one day. Let's get used to it. All right, so I want that little Death Star.
I got to say, that is one of the coolest things I've seen in a while. Oh, that's so true.
Geekify Christmas Northy says, Robot Santa needs more lasers. All right. No James from Melbourne. My sound hasn't dropped out. Has anybody else's? No, no. Everybody's saying no. On my tree is Anakin, Captain Rex, Yoda, and Mr. Hankey, says James from Melbourne. Fantastic.
Nice.
Excellent. All right. Now, I gotta say that we in Sydney are very proud of our opera house. We have been for a long time, and we've rested on our laurels for
now,
a long time.
Now, when you say us...
Oh, I've
you don't.
In, yeah, well, you know, us who live in Sydney.
I...
We don't come from Sydney. Neither of us come from Sydney, but we
right.
live in Sydney.
Right, 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 yeah.
And,
okay.
you know, the Opera House was a feat of architectural engineering when it came out, with the sails and all this sort of stuff. It took years to finish and all that wonderful stuff. And we've basically been the envy of a lot of countries because of this particular piece of architecture. Let's not forget that the acoustics in the Opera House actually suck, and it's the Opera House. But, you know, it looks lovely from the outside, right? Mm. And a lot of people do it. Well, it looks like we finally have competition because... the Zayed National Museum is being built at the moment in, I want to say, Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
And it is looking like this. This is an artist's rendering of it. It is going to be very, very dramatic, just outside Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
It's currently under construction. When it's finished, it should look something like this.
Dude, that's freaking
is
awesome.
Is that just amazing looking?
Looks kind of like a little bit... It's copyright-ish, but...
Well, know. It actually is supposed to represent... it says here it's supposed to represent falconry, because apparently the Sheikh is a big into falconry. So I guess they're wings from the falcon. It actually looks to me like a burrowing insect, quite frankly, but or mini burrowing insects. But it looks cool. And apparently it's also functional. The part that actually really...
What, it flies?
No. The part that really got me... I mean, remember, this is the Middle East, so it's very hot, right? Yeah. It says here...
I agree with James. I think it looks like mussels under the sea.
Oh, that's good too, yeah. Mm. According to this quote, I'm going to quote... this is from Gizmodo, but a quote about the building says, "The towers heat up and act as thermal chimneys to draw cooling air currents naturally through the museum. Fresh air is captured at a low level and drawn through the buried ground cooling pipes and released into the museum's body. The heat at the top of the towers works to draw the air up vertically through the galleries due to thermal stack effect. Air vents open at the top of the wing-shaped towers, taking advantage of the negative pressures on the lee of the wing profile to draw the hot air out."
That is so technical and cool.
Is that not cool? So that's the function. The wings actually have a functionality.
It's like an air conditioning system that doesn't take like a quarter of your country's resources.
There you go. And that's what I thought was really neat. So it's a really an interesting design, and I'd be very curious to see. That's the artist's impression. I'd be very curious to see the finished building. But I got to tell you, Abu Dhabi at the moment has some amazing buildings.
Yeah.
I still don't think I ever want to go there, but it's got some amazing buildings.
Just love the way Dave says that. It's like, it's absolutely amazing. No, I'm not going there.
I look at pictures of it, but I really have no interest in going anywhere in the Middle East. I go, hey, it's just too hot. I'm not into heat, man.
Geeks don't like heat.
I don't like
geeks,
heat, man.
We do
no,
not
no,
like
no,
heat.
No, don't like heat. Okay. It says, yes, but they have some amazing money, too, which is why.
They do have some amazing money.
All right. Now, this next story I actually almost didn't put in because I kind of looked at it and went, is it really a story? And we didn't really ever get a chance to see it really cut loose. Mm. But as I watched the video, and it was a very long video that I had to literally abridge a lot, and we won't watch the whole thing, even though it's abridged down to, it was like almost 5 minutes long. So I've abridged it down to like a minute and a half, but even then it's still probably too long. But just conceptually, you got to tell me that there isn't something kind of interesting about this. But I do pose the question in the show notes, which is, when is a skateboard not a skateboard anymore? Mm. Okay, this is apparently the video you're about to see, and I'll put this on here. The video you're watching, these are some guys here in for the V8 supercar rallies, and they've decided to put a V8 engine onto a skateboard.
What we've built here is actually a skateboard with a fully-fledged V8 supercar engine fitted to it.
Which is insane.
I just love the look on his face. It's just like, yeah, that's right. We did it. We knew it was stupid.
We don't believe he's ever ridden one like this before.
Yeah, apparently Tony Hawk is coming to the V8 supercars, which and they want to see if he'll ride it. He ain't getting anywhere near that thing, I don't think, quite frankly.
It was a bit of a shock because I've never actually heard of one.
That's because nobody's stupid enough to do it.
Powered skateboards, but
listen to the part where he talks about safety, though. This is my favorite part.
suppliers and whatnot, and you know, people that we need to make parts and whatnot, they kind of don't believe you. But you know, as it gets closer to it, and everyone you know has a bit of a peek, and they think, oh yeah, this might actually work. So they do think you're a little bit crazy.
No, we haven't built too many safety features into it at all, really. Apart from the big red button and the ability to run away from it, that's about it. Just worried about the driver, that's all.
Yeah.
I would be worried about the driver too.
Right to go, guys.
Here we go. Listen to this thing. I would not be caught dead on this thing.
Boom!
Oh no, he rides off really slowly on it. And all I could think is, we're not going to see this thing actually go. They're saving that. But I would like to see this thing. This guy's obviously going, holy shit! And he doesn't push the big red button, which they don't actually see.
Do a trick. I think it's not a trick style thing.
They also don't actually see what the big red button does.
I assume it just kills the engine.
It must. It must just be like a fuel cut. Yeah. I don't know if it's a big red button or to run away from it. Say that to the guy who's going, you know, 50k an hour on it. He ain't running from shit.
I think put a steering wheel on it and just admit that you made a small car. I just love the concept that someone goes to drive it and it's just like they just flick backwards over it as it like piles down the road.
Look, when I first read the link, thank you very much, Delta Knight. I haven't stressed in this episode yet that our links come courtesy of Delta Knight in our chat room. He's our researcher. Mm. But I haven't said yet that when I first read that link, it had shades of a story from the 80s. And I don't remember if you guys remember this, but some guys, and I don't remember who they were, but some guys decided that it would be a fun idea to put a V8 engine into a Volkswagen Beetle.
Right. How'd that end up?
Well, the engine ripped out of the car. It just tore itself clean out of the car. So it didn't get very far, as you can imagine. So when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, God, this has disaster written all over. But they actually managed to make it work.
Yeah.
Whether it works well or whether it's a stupid idea, they actually managed to make a V8 engine that doesn't just tear itself off the board.
Yeah.
So, anyway, have you guys seen the V12 chainsaw? No.
No, but find us links and get it next picture. Week.
Find us links and send us a picture.
And all put right. The picture in the Dropbox.
Something in a slightly more humorous note. This is some guys who actually made an ice sculpture. And what an ice sculpture it is. They made an ice sculpture of Optimus Prime.
Wow, that's incredibly well made.
That is incredibly well made. The picture is once again in our show notes for our audio listeners. Go check it out. It is awesome. It is what? 4 times the height of a man in all its glorious detail. It's beautiful. It's such a lovely. How long would that have taken them to make?
A long time.
James from Melbourne says that they were glad we didn't bring up the V8 motors in the vibrator section of the show, the last
Let's
show.
Let's just not
Let's
think
just
about
not
that ever.
Do that. That's not a good idea. Okay, we've got a couple of other pictures. And once again, this is a story before we get into that. I'm going to have to use some quotes from the article because this one, there's no pictures for this. But for our audio listeners, everybody gets to enjoy this one together. I need to get the details straight, though. So on Geekology, Delta sent us this article. And I started to read it going, what the hell? And then it said, and I started to read it and it started to make more sense. According to this, the police spent 8 hours investigating a crime scene. The grisliest murder scene they have ever seen in their lives. Quote, unquote, in this article, firefighters who responded to the hotel blaze, apparently this hotel caught fire, and while they were responding to it, stumbled upon a blood-splattered hotel room littered with bottles of alcohol and even a piece of scalp.
Fuck.
Police Chief J.R. Blythe, who was called in to investigate, described the discovery at the George Washington Hotel in Pittsburgh as, quote, the most grisly murder scene in his 35 years in law enforcement. Are we getting the grips on this so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Detectives spent 8 hours of overtime on the investigation before Chief Blythe realized the blood wasn't real and that the murder scene was, in fact, the leftover set of a horror movie filmed 2 years ago with Corey Haim.
No way.
The film called New Terminal Hotel shot a scene in the hotel, and the owner, Kirk Pyros, decided to leave the room untouched in case the crew had to come back for reshoots. Mr. Pyros was bemused by the police's discovery of the quote-unquote crime scene. And as they point out in this article, it took them 8 hours to work out it wasn't real.
There must have been some really good-looking...
I'm sorry, but Caro Blood, in real life, doesn't look that real.
Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe and it apparently was the piece of scalp was a piece of latex rubber. They couldn't figure that part out?
Well, maybe... Oh, yeah, no, that's terrible.
That's 8 hours? That's my point, is the fact that it's not so much that there was this grisly crime scene. Okay, the firefighters knocking a door, they see all the blood on the wall and stuff like that. They go, oh my God, calling the police. But forensic specialists couldn't figure out in, what, 10 minutes that it wasn't real.
Wow.
That's terrible. Staggering. And you know what? I got to just say, Pittsburgh police. Wow, not a good mark on your record.
Yeah, no, I would not be making public statements about that.
Callison says they didn't think to ask the hotel owner about it. They didn't call him up and say, what?
I assume he was on site.
He's probably going,
like, not right now, we have an incredibly gory crime scene.
He's tapping on the shoulder, excuse me, he goes, no, we're right now.
Get the blood work, stat. And it's like some dude's like, this is jelly.
Northy says, I think those cops just wanted to clock up some overtime for the holiday.
Snap. Well done, man.
So
well done.
I just thought that was amazing. And Delta, for me, quite frankly, that is the best link of the week. That was the link of the week where I just went, oh my God, that was just unbelievable. And just to round off our crazy stuff section, I think we should have a look at animals like computers too. Some of these we've already seen, but it is close to the holidays, and I just thought we'd share three of these with you. There is a whole page of these, and some of them you will have gotten in the emails in the past and so forth. But these are pictures of pets and their computers, pets who love their computers. And this is, quite frankly, my favorite. I haven't seen this photo before. I'm sure other people have. But I've seen a lot of these, and I hadn't seen this one. I particularly like his tongue. So just watch his tongue.
All right, that's kind of cute.
I like that one. And I also really like this one because I think these guys are actually doing a Google search for Richard Gere. Okay, so a couple of hamsters. And the last one I'm going to show you, which is one that I have seen many times before, but it is a photo that I love so much because you just know it's the heat of the laptop. This cat is in heaven. And all I can say is, as an owner of a laptop, I would say, oh God, my cat, can you imagine the fur buildup? But look at this. This cat's going warm.
Yeah, no, absolutely, especially because it's running a Centrino processor as well, so it's probably
you
hot
can
as
see
shit.
That from here? Oh, yeah, there's the logo. Okay, cool.
Anyway, moving right along.
There's lots more of those pictures that you can go and have a look at. They were just something fun, and I just thought, oh, those are very cute. For our audio listeners, the link is in our show notes. Let's get on to weird and wild food. Yeah. We have three stories for you, which will, of course, end with our customary Canadians. Who are going to show us a different kind of breakfast this year, this particular one. If you, our valued listeners, are getting tired of the Canadians, who it's epic mealtime is the guys, let us know and we will find other stuff. But I'm enjoying the hell out of them. So I'm actually purposely not going to find their site and not going to find their YouTube channel because I want to discover them as we're going. I could just go watch them all, but I want to discover them as we're going as well. So we're going to do the Canadians do breakfast in just a minute. But how about this? Thanksgiving has just happened. And as we know, at around Thanksgiving time, people do some weird-ass things with food. Mm. One of the big trends over the last couple of years has been deep-fried turkey. And we've all seen the videos of deep-fried turkey mishaps, people burning down their houses. And, of course, MythBusters did an entire special on it. And the link that Delta Knight sent had all these videos. But one video in particular stood out to me, just because, as a geek, I like things that go boom.
Yeah,
and this one just really tickled me, and I really like his reaction at the very end. So here we go.
Okay, Thanksgiving is coming up, and Teddy wanted to do a trial.
I like the fact they put it way out in the backyard.
Cooking. And so he's going to put it in his homemade fryer over there, and we'll see how it goes. I didn't think it was a good idea. I wanted to stay inside, so.
Here we go.
Whoa!
Jesus!
Holy mackerel, good thing we're inside. Don't think that was a good idea. He said he put dirt on it. It's gonna be delicious now.
Wait till his reaction. And there's that video amongst others on the post that we have, the link that we have. But, and we all know that by now with the whole deep frying of a turkey thing, it's about the fact whether the turkey is frozen or fresh.
Mm.
Frozen turkeys will do that.
Yeah.
It's the displacement of oil and the ice that makes it go boom. All right? Not a good idea. If you're using fresh turkey will deep fry quite nicely.
If you want it to explode or set on fire.
Well, and there's a couple of them that it looks like they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
So if you go further down the link that we have on the show notes, you'll see that I think it's the last one. They drop it into the and they make this huge, and you can hear them cheering. So it's like they're really going for it. And this was this is just a photo. Once again, if you're in our audio listener, you can find this link on our chat room. In our show notes. This is a new waffle maker. And I thought this appealed to the geek, and it obviously appealed to Delta Knight because he brought it up. This is the QWERTY keyboard waffle maker that makes wonderful QWERTY keyboard waffles.
That's really cool.
Which is awesome. It just makes these perfect little keyboards. Now, I got to say, I've been craving waffles for weeks, and seeing that was just like, oh, God, I want a waffle. Darth waffles. I love waffles, and this was just awesome. I just really liked that one. But we're going to finish off our show day with the Canadians because we do like to finish with them. And this is their epic breakfast.
Online cooking show. Got the Magnum of Jack Daniels about to change the game. What you know about cooking? Breakfast. Wake up. Wake the f*** up. Oh, that's hot. Took some brown sugar. We can't eat bacon. Delicious. Like dog treats for human beings. Bacon weave the bacon plate. Cut up some ham. Wrapped it in bacon. Made our own beer batter with lots of beer. Ham wrapped in bacon. Deep fried in beer batter. Steak. Deep fried in beer batter. For breakfast. Cream cheese, sausage, jalapeno, stuffed pancake. Deep fried in beer batter. That's f***ed up.
That is
chocolate
fucked up.
Chip bacon beer waffles. That's smart. Oh, and we cooked with a little Jack Daniels.
Okay.
Kidding. We used a lot of Jack Daniels. A lot. Because we don't f*** around at breakfast. Potatoes. Made some hash brown balls. Hash brown balls. Bacon Bailey's whipped cream? Fucking smart. Bacon cream cheese stuffed French toast dumpling? Next level breakfast maneuver. Cheese stick. Cheese stick. Breaded with Doritos crumbs, deep fried.
Jesus.
Breakfast ain't breakfast without a big ass omelet. Am I right, hater? It's not
a big ass omelet.
No, it's a big ass.
Bacon plate.
God, look at
made
that.
Made a breakfast fortress to keep all the haters out of it. Jack Daniels syrup. Chocolate chips, waffles, eggs, ham, bacon, all that deep fried in beer batter covered in Jack Daniels maple syrup. We about to get drunk off pancakes.
And for those who are wondering in the audio chat room, it is over 18,000 calories a plate. Good lord.
Next time, we eat a cult.
Next time, we eat a cult.
Oh, God.
So there's the Canadians who do breakfast, and they want to get drunk on their breakfast, and wow, I think they will. That was a lot of Jack Daniels.
That was a lot.
Somebody
of
was
Daniels.
Asking what was with the cap. It's got one of those, it had a limiter cap on it for doing shots.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just pull that off.
Because they probably wanted to really string it out.
Oh, they want to make it look like it's going for a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
How are they not fat? Because Canadians are invincible, remember?
Canadian stomachs don't actually change size. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It's like one bite and your stomach explodes.
I can't believe what they would do is they're taking those, taking like elements and wrapping it in the other elements and trying to stuff it all in their mouth. I was like, God.
Those flavors are not meant to mix.
Like, what would he say? Chocolate, beer, waffles. That's smart. All right, we're going to finish up here for the day. I'm going to say thank you very much for everybody who joined us. We can be contacted at feedback@geekactually.com. If you have any comments or anything you want to add to anything that we do, please write to us, or you can voicemail us at Sydney number 02-8011-3167. We have on the website links to buy Geek Action merchandise or find out ways to support us or joining our Facebook fan page or joining my Twitter account. All the links are at geekactually.com. Just go there and you'll find everything out. If you want to watch us live, we start our broadcast day every Saturday, 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and we record three shows back to back. Josh, you have something?
Yeah, sure. RawDLC.com.
Look, I could plug it for you, but it's much more fun to watch you plug it.
Yeah, yeah. Every week it changed. RawDLC, it's a gaming website. Go to it.
Okay, there you go.
That's it. I'm done.
Fair enough.
Gotta change it up, man. Can't have it the same.
Cool, why not? A couple of shout-outs to our friends out there on the internets. MovieFanHouse.com, which will soon be RebounRadio.com. It's up now, but they're not fully moved over yet. They are the wonderful hosts who produce the Movie Fan Cast. They also produce the Talking Dead Cast. They also produce Right This Instant. Brad, Charlie, Jesse, you guys are legends. Keep up the work. And our friends over at The Real Junkies, who have taken a bit of a break, but they're back now, R-E-E-L Junkies. You can find them on iTunes or go to WeekendRonan.com. That's it. I think I'm done. I don't think there's anything else I want to plug. Oh, I want to plug, donate to us. We're trying to get to America. Listen to last week's show. You'll find out more details.
All right.
All right, I'm done. Let's get out of here. I want to say thank you to the chat room. Thank you, Josh.
Absolutely.
Thank you to everybody who listens. Thank you to all those people who are downloading the after show right now, whoever you may be.
5,000.
The after show has gone berserk. So all you people who are downloading the after show, we do have other shows. Tech Actually, Film Actually. Come and check those out too. we're going to get out of here. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all next week. Bye, bye now. Maybe.